I'm joined by the defence analyst Shashank Joshi, who's just written a paper about red lines in foreign policy for the Royal United Services Institute. Shashank, has Obama's red line on chemical weapons been crossed?
Well, the paper we've written, Hugh Chalmers and I for RUSI, discusses the problems with ambiguity. Ambiguity both in terms of what does and doesn't count as a transgression, and ambiguity as a way of avoiding tying your hands, giving yourself a little bit of breathing room. And I think with the chemical weapons red line, the White House is currently finding ways to ensure that the red line hasn't been crossed, to make sure it's attaching lots of caveats to this assessment that they think sarin has probably been used in Syria by the regime. Sufficient caveats that they can say, actually, we need to prove various other things before we can say the red line of last August, that is, a whole bunch of chemical weapons being moved around or utilized, has in fact been breached.
So is it changing its line?
Well, this is the thing about ambiguous red lines. You don't have to change your line. You only have to reinterpret the line and say it meant something else. In this particular case, I think we should be very clear. The evidence says that sarin has been found in physiological samples, which are apparently blood samples from more than one victim from more than one place. And what it doesn't say is where this occurred, when it occurred, who launched the attack, or even if it was an attack. And so for all of those outstanding reasons, I think the Obama White House is still categorically unwilling to say the line has been crossed, and it will probably continue to insist that until it has new and firm evidence. I think what looms above this above all is fear of the Iraq example and the fear of undertaking some sort of precipitous action on the basis of evidence that later turns out to have been embellished or fabricated.
Was it a mistake to set the red line in the first place?
It was a mistake to set the red line if they weren't willing to act on it. Now, there's a certain amount of leeway they have, but that leeway is shrinking by the day. Only yesterday, we had Chuck Hagel say that the Israeli allegations of chemical weapon use were suspicions, not evidence. And then the next day, he says, well, we have evidence, but it's not good enough, the evidence. Now, up to a certain point, this is understandable, but it is going to be the case if they continue to dodge these questions and they continue to set the bar so high that the evidence for chemical weapons use can never be really conclusively demonstrated. It will have been a grave mistake because it will have shown that red lines can be transgressed without any consequences, which means other red lines and further violations become more likely. So no, he shouldn't have set it if it was a bluff.
Has the Assad regime called that bluff?
The honest answer is we don't know. I mean, there are increasing reports of chemical weapons use, but, you know, the evidence does matter. It may have been the case that if this evidence turns out to be solid, if it turns out to be attributed to the regime itself, it may very well be the case that this was an act of testing those red lines by using small-scale attacks. Now, the problem is, what if the evidence stays at the present level of reliability? What if they can't establish what they call chain of custody? That is, did these samples come from where we think they came from? And yet these attacks occur again and again. Will Assad stay below the red line, or will the administration be forced to act on a lower standard of evidence than it initially wished to set? And I think probably the former, it probably will struggle at that point to say, actually, we need more evidence. It will be forced to take some sort of action.
How credible do you think the evidence is?
I would like to see further details as to where these samples are from, where they've been collected from, who's handled them, which laboratories have tested them, what the levels of certainty is on all of this. I mean, I think what's particularly important is we've had a McClatchy report this morning saying that only a minuscule trace of byproduct, which is a sort of residue that's left after a nerve agent's been used, was found in a soil sample, and that there are fertilizers that can also give out the same byproduct. Now, I don't have any further detail on the separate tests on the blood samples, but I think it's absolutely important that the evidence receives a very high degree of scrutiny and that the public is able to see that process play out. So I would like to see that evidence be publicized and made clearer. But of course, you know, the administration is going to be reluctant to do that for fear that it traps them into a corner. But I think it's the only way forwards.
Okay, Shashank. Thanks very much.
Sure.